Welcome to Prompting Curiosity, a podcast for the AI curious. No coding background required. I'm your host, Dr. Shantae Cofield, also known as the Maestro, and I created this show to explore what these AI tools actually are.
Really, though, are the files in the computer?
How to use them, and what they might mean for how we think, work, create, and move through life. Whether you're skeptical, intrigued, or already experimenting, you're in the right place. All that I ask is that you stay curious. All right, let's get into it. Hello, my curious people, and welcome to episode 38 of Prompting Curiosity. I'm your grateful host, The Maestro, and today we are talking about using Claude to build custom tech solutions. The inspiration for this episode? Well, remember that wish list I spoke about in episode 36? Hopefully you do, this like two episodes ago. I went ahead and used Claude Code to check off the second item. I was a little bit pushed, if you will, by the fact that Claude had rolled out, or Anthropic had rolled out, like bonus usage tokens, like extra usage, and it was expiring. And I was like, I'm gonna get mine. I'm gonna use it. So I stayed up and I built it. And I actually did not stay up as late as with the other one, with the other project. But I used Claude to build out that second item on the list, which is a custom dashboard for my messaging coaching clients. So if you want to listen to the episode 36, I will link it. But yes, y'all, sorry about that. I'm just moving the mic here. Vibe coding with AI absolutely requires a bit of tech tenacity. But like I've said before, it's more so patience than anything else, because you communicate with it via natural language. You're just typing, talking to it. I use Whisperflow and I'm just talking to it and being like, this isn't working. This is what I want. And you can literally ask it anything. You can ask it to do anything. You can ask it how to do anything. It will walk you through step by step anything that you need to do. And if you're unsure, because it's written out, you can literally just take screenshots of things and upload it and be like, this is what I'm seeing. And yeah, you got to go back and forth. And sometimes it assumes things that like just aren't true. But again, that is an exercise in patience, right? And it's the rest is just, you know, you just got to tell it what you want and be patient and go back and forth. The only real limitations that I see as you're using AI to build this stuff is that, one, you are paying for usage and you can hit your usage limits. I have yet to hit them, but also that is why I wanted to take advantage of that like bonus that they were doing. Worth noting, Anthropic did just have an issue with usage and, you know, people were hitting their usage in like 15 minutes and there was clearly like a bug. But I have not experienced that. But the solution here, as it relates to the fact that there are usage limits, which I think is a good thing, right? Solutions. One, you could pay more, right? You can pay for higher usage limits. I'm only in the $20 tier. I could go to the $100 tier and I would definitely be fine. I'm more than enough fine. I've been more than enough fine with the $20 tier. You could use a model that uses less tokens. I think this is a big issue for people. I have built everything with Sonnet, as opposed to the more token hungry Opus. The one that's like normally the default that's selected is Sonnet. And I just use that. I know that, you know, in the coding world, people are all about Opus, but like it's like very, apparently very, very token hungry. And I don't, for what I'm doing, I'm just like, it's fine. It's totally fine. So that's one solution to the fact that there are usage limits. Another option is that you can do some of the coding, you can do some of the implementation yourself, right? So part of what happens when you use Claude Code is that it makes files, it changes things, it writes things, it creates code, it writes code, it deletes the code. It's putting it in the files itself. That takes tokens, right? You could do some of that yourself if you want. And when I was building out some of the other things earlier on, I was doing that and I would ask it for the code and then I would go into the specific files and I would do that. So that is another option. Another option for these users, you know, dealing with usage limits is just being able to ask better questions and needing less back and forth with the model because you know what you're doing. And so, you know, I've been doing this for a bit now. I know, and I'm going to go into this in a bit, but like, I know the tech stack that I want to use. I know what I want this thing to look like. I know how I want it to work. I know what kind of some of the integrations that I'm going to need. And so I don't have to go back and forth and like, one, I don't have to go back and forth and have the conversation, but two, I don't have to go back and forth with trial and error of like it builds. And then I'm like, wait, this isn't what I wanted. This like doesn't work this way because I know it's not going to work that way because I know what I know now from having already done that trial and error. But that's a good segue into the next limitation, is that you don't know what you don't know. Right. So a limitation in using AI and vibe coding is that you don't know what you don't know. And so you don't know that you need a way to deploy this thing so that it's not just available on your local browser. You don't know that you need a database attached to it so that it stores information between sessions and you can actually access it from all of your devices and, you know, continuously ongoing access it and all the stuff that you put there is still there. What is the solution for that? Well, one is this podcast, because I'm sharing this stuff with you. Two, trial and error. And three, you learn as you go, right? You ask it how to solve those problems as they come up for you. So, you know, the first time you make one of these custom tech solutions, it will probably just be local. And you may not understand what I am saying until you build one. And then you're like, wait, but how do I like access it from my phone? Or access it from anywhere else besides this very computer? How do I access it from my laptop? And then it'll be like, oh, you have to deploy it somewhere. And then you're like, okay, how do I do that? And it'll give you solutions, right? So I realized and I learned, you know, I took some courses on this and I didn't really understand what it was talking about until I started building stuff. And, you know, hat tip to these courses, because they do have you, sorry, I'm moving the mic again. They do have you build stuff. And so you're like, okay, I have to like deploy it via this. And so, you know, you get your favorites early on. But a lot of it, you will just learn and you will learn as you go and it will make sense as you go. You'll solve the problems as they arise and you'll be like, okay, I understand. And you'll ask it. You'll be like, Claude, what the fuck? What is happening? How do I do this? I want this to look like this. I want this to be able to do this. How do I do that? And that will be, it'll give you the answer. All right. So for the 11 billionth time, my goal with these episodes and with this podcast is largely just to expose you to things so that you realize what's even possible. I am by no means here to tell you that you need to go and try this stuff today. You must do it. You're going to miss out. None of that. I told you before a million times, I don't care if you use it or not. I just want to open your eyes to what's possible. That's all. I want you to know it's possible. And then, you know, realistically, what is possible will only become more possible and easier to access as time goes on. So I think we're in a point where things are getting better and now it is definitely about implementation, but things continue to get easier. And like, I learned this not that long ago, right? So I went away, what, in October, November? I think, I'm trying to think when we go away. December? We go away with our couple friend. And that's when I was like really starting to get to it. So December. Yeah. I started this podcast last August, got into this vibe coding stuff in December. It is currently April and things are so much different. Like there's a storage system, that's what I'll call it, called GitHub, G-I-T. And I was learning the commands for that and how to push things, how to send files there so that they could be backed up there. That's essentially what GitHub is doing. And you can just have Claude do it. You can just say, hey, push to get. And it will do, it will commit it. It will stage, it will do all of the things. And like, I'm forgetting the commands now because I haven't had to run them. And that wasn't a thing in December. Like, that's crazy to me that how you can just, it's crazy. And so I don't think that, you know, people are going to be like, you're going to, oh, you don't pick it up now, you're going to be left behind. I do think that there may be a little bit of ease, you know, if you wait and you learn later on, but I think that there is protection, future proofing, I don't know, a little bit more safety in learning the full way of doing things, right? Like, you know, like everyone, you're gonna give them everybody a calculator, go ahead, but like, I think you should know how to do addition and subtraction and those things, but by all means, yes. And multiplication, right? But by all means, yes, go ahead and use the calculator. I think what's going to happen is that people are just going to be handed a calculator and they have no idea how to actually do the calculations. And that's like a little bit, you know, there's something there. But again, like I am by no means a coder. Someone that's actually a coder would listen to hear me saying this and be like, you don't fucking know shit about shit. And I'm like, that's fair. That is fair. But I do think whatever we can do to like somewhat understand how things are working, that's not a bad thing. All right. But all that to say, I'm never here to scare you and be like, you're going to fall behind, get left behind. No, like I think things are getting easier to use. And I really just want you to know that this stuff is possible, right? It is my hope that you continue to live your life and run your business. And one day when you're like, damn, I wish I could do X, or I wish I had a robot that did X for me, you think to yourself, hey, I could probably build that with AI, or I could probably have AI build that for me. And then you give it a shot, right? A great starting point for building these custom tech solutions is literally thinking about what you hate doing and figuring out a way to have the robots do it for you. And by figuring out a way, I mean talking to Claude and being like, hey, I don't want to do this. I don't like doing this. What can you automate? What can you do for me within this? Again, I never recommend you outsourcing the creative part of things, but the paper pushing, by all means, outsource that shit. The organizing of stuff, outsource it so that you can have all of your brain left to do the creative stuff. In last week's episode, I talked about how I had Claude Code build out an automation for my podcast workflow, namely all the copy and pasting parts that I hate doing. I actually, fun fact, before I came on to record this, I did have some troubleshooting with that. But I was like, I know what's going on. I think this is why. And it's still faster than me going in and doing all the copy pasting myself, even though there was a little troubleshooting that was required. There is some fragility with this stuff. And I think that, you know, that's why I'm kind of like, hey, understand a little bit what's going on so that when it breaks, you're not just like so fucking frustrated and then you have to use like all of your tokens to try and troubleshoot this thing, right? So, but what I was trying to get, the point I'm getting across there is that my first big build out was that automation for the podcast workflow, because I was like, I don't want to do this shit. I hate doing the copy and pasting. So this time, friends, I had Claude Code build out a custom dashboard. And I think that's kind of all the rage right now. So people, if you go on Threads and you're in that echo chamber, it is like everyone showing their custom dashboards and then like people shitting on them because they haven't like deployed them to a somewhere that they can actually like, you know, that's live, and they don't have any actual integrations. And it's like, dude, stop yucking people's yum and just teach them more. So I had Claude build this thing out. It's for my messaging coaching clients. And I built it out. I had it built out because I needed an organizational solution that would allow me to have all of the things in one place without any extra bullshit or any extra bloat. Like all of these CRMs and things like that. You have so many moving parts, so many extra stuff. And you have to pay for them. I'm not paying for this thing. It's free, right? I pay for Claude, but everything else, there's no cost to it. So my particular process for this was perhaps a little bit different than yours will be if and when you go to try and do that. And that's largely because I'm familiar with the frameworks that I wanted Claude to use and to build the dashboard. FYI, this custom dashboard is simply a custom web app, which means it is web pages. That's all that it is. Files that get read and turned into web pages, right? They are live, they are deployed, and they have URLs. I put it behind an authorization, right? So there's a login for it, but it is just web pages. That is what's getting built. I knew that I would also need a database for this because I want this, it's for clients and they're gonna have things attached to each client, and that requires the information to be stored somewhere. That's a database. I knew which provider I wanted to use for that database, and I knew which service I wanted to use to deploy the whole thing, right? And when I say deploy, that just means make it live on the internet, make these web pages live on the internet so that I can access them from anywhere, right? So for the nerds out there who care, the tech stack that I used and that I will always use, so that's what I like to use to build these kinds of things, the framework is Next.js, the database is Supabase, and the deployment platform is Vercel. There are other options out there. Netlify or Netlify, I don't even know how to pronounce it. That's another option for a deployment platform. The big database providers that we see out there, like Supabase is a big one because it's all in one and it allows for auth to be in there, meaning if you want to have authorization for things. If you're just doing this yourself and you're not having multiple people and you need to protect each line and things like that. When I say each line, I mean each line in the database, then you don't need to use something like that, but it's free. It does have a free tier. And that's what I learned with. So that's what I use. And it integrates really nicely with Vercel and Next.js. And that's why I use it, right? They all just play really nicely together, but by all means, use what you want. I use them because, like I said earlier, when I first started learning this stuff, I took some courses and about vibe coding, and that's what they used. And so I use them and I still use them. For you, use Claude, tell Claude that what you want and what you're trying to do, and it will make recommendations, right? Something to note there. I know I just said tell Claude, but you're going to be building this thing with Claude Code, not Claude.ai. You can Google, and this is what I want you to Google, install Claude Code desktop app, and it will walk you through how to install it. And yes, that is the easiest way to find out how to install it, is to just Google it. You'd think they'd like make it more front and center on Claude, and they don't. They kind of scare people away from it. I think they kind of, and maybe I'll do an episode about this because I do find it interesting. It has three tiers, right? We have Claude.ai, we have Claude Cowork, and we have Claude Code. And Claude Cowork is just like Claude Code for the average person. But I find that it is just becoming so functional, and Claude.ai is becoming so functional that I wouldn't be surprised if that middle tier gets cannibalized and just gets eaten. But I'm interested to see what happens with that. But you'll be using Claude Code to build this thing. And so easiest way to install it and understand that is to install the desktop app. Before it was only in Terminal. They've made it so much. Again, things are just changing, and the accessibility is changing so quickly. So just Google install Claude Code desktop app and it'll walk you through it. But in building these custom tech solutions, as is the case with coming up with any solution, the more familiar you are with the problem, the better the solution will be. So to that end, in my humble opinion, it's advisable to wait until you have some reps doing the thing that you want a solution for or executing that task so that you can discuss it with Claude, and then, you know, you can discuss with Claude what you actually want to build. This way, I'm not just telling you, like, just go build something right now, because you're going to be like, well, I don't really know what I want and what I need. And, like, you know, every single vibe coding course, like, will have you build a Pomodoro timer. And you're like, fine, I can, like, do that. But, like, it's fine to do that. But it is, in my opinion, you're more invested and you care more when it's a problem that you have firsthand. You're like, dude, I want a solution for this, and I'm really familiar with it, and I know what I want to happen with this, right? So just circling back a little bit there, because I said you can talk to Claude discuss with Claude what you want to build. And then you have the planning session, right? The planning session is very important, right? The sitting there going back and forth and being like, what do I want? How do I want this thing to work? What just everything about it. And to kind of get in the weeds here, you can have this conversation with Claude.ai, but the actual planning that gets executed, an actual plan that gets executed, that will happen via Claude Code. And you have to do that planning portion inside of Claude Code in what's called plan mode. Again, I know that if you haven't used Claude Code, if you haven't used Claude for desktop, you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I know this. I just want you to have the exposure to. This is how I learned as well. I watched a bunch of Claude videos and YouTube videos, and I didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. But when I went to use it finally, it made sense because of that exposure that I had before. I'm like, oh, that's what they're talking about. So if you're like, what in the world? I get it. There are, if and when you download Claude for desktop or Claude Code for desktop, you're going to see it's an app, and it has three little sections at the top, like a toggle, and one is chat, one is Cowork, and one is code. When you go to build this thing, you're actually going to be in code. I like to start in chat and just go back and forth with it. That's regular Claude, right? Chat is regular Claude, the chat toggle. And I just go back and forth with it and talk about the things that I want. And then I have to start a new conversation in code. Nothing goes over or, like, you know, copies over into Claude Code. You can ask the chat toggle, so Claude.ai, hey, can you summarize what we just went over? And I'm going to go start a project in Claude Code. But nothing, it doesn't like talk to each other, which is a little bit annoying. And I think that at some point they'll change that. But it doesn't do that for now. So you can bring that conversation over via, you know, copy it, ask it to summarize it, and then bring it over. And then you will actually do planning inside of Claude Code. It will plan things out. It'll tell you the steps it wants to take. And then you have to authorize each of the steps. All right. Again, put in effort with this. Put effort into this. And ask Claude to ask you questions. You know, all the episodes that I've done, even when we were talking about ChatGPT, I was just, you know, always emphasizing that the better the input, the better the output. And so ask it questions and have it ask you questions, right? Tell it to ask you questions. Tell it that you are completely new to this. You have no idea what you're doing. Ask for things that you might have missed but would be helpful. Ask it for things that you don't know to ask for but would improve the quality of the project. Ask about problems that could arise and how to prevent them. This actually, and you may not even change this because you're just like, oh, I did it, but I didn't really understand. And I just experienced this. I saw a thing, you know, I was having the conversation with Claude and when I built out the workflow, and I saw it mention something about basically the version that it was that it uses for that workflow, the version of Claude, it's like hard coded in, which means that if Claude updates, that it will break. And that's exactly what happened. Claude updated and I went to run it and it was like, this is not, can't find Claude. And I was like, I think I know what happened. So even if you don't take the advice, at least you're exposed to it and you're like, oh, wait, I think I know. And then you can fix it. Right? Ask Claude about anything that you could possibly want this tech solution to do. The coolest thing with AI is that you don't have to settle for a quote unquote good enough, right? at least not initially, right? And especially when it comes to aesthetics or, you know, stylistic things. I did have an experience with the dashboard project where I couldn't get what I would consider a nice to have feature to connect. But that was fine because it wasn't an aesthetic thing. It was called an MCP server, and it would basically have allowed me to just talk to Claude and have Claude change things, not within the functionality of the dashboard, but if I wanted to like add this client, and I could just message Claude, and I couldn't get that to work, I'm okay with that. It's not the biggest deal. Everything else that I want, every single other thing that I want, stylistic, button-related actions that take place, Claude has made happen. Claude Code has made it happen. And I have been updating in this thing along the way. All right. So actually, speaking of connections, for my custom dashboard, I wanted it to be able to connect to my scheduling software, Acuity, so that it would automatically pull clients from there. And it would organize it by their specific service, and it would pull over any corresponding dates. And I wanted it to be able to also connect with Google Drive so that a new Google Drive folder would be created whenever someone booked. And things like that are possible. I actually just before hopping on here was doing some troubleshooting because what's called a webhook wasn't working. So it wasn't pulling them automatically. I had done like a hard import to start off. And so I was like, oh, it's working. But I realized that no, it's not updating automatically. I hadn't finished the second half of that connection, but went back and forth with Claude and it's all fixed. What I want you to take away from that is that things like this are possible. Right. But this connection that I'm talking about, this is where a lot of that tech tenacity comes in, because there are steps that you have to take and things that you have to do and copy and paste. And like, there's a lot of copy and pasting and matching things. And I think that's a good thing from a safety perspective. But again, Claude will hold your hand through this, and you literally just copy and paste. You can copy and paste in both ways. One, you can take a screenshot and then you drag that into Claude and be like, hey, this is what I'm seeing. What do I do next? And it will walk you through it. And then it will output the things that you need to copy and that you need to paste into the respective files and such, so that things connect and things work. Building the custom dashboard, it did take me a couple of hours. It was not like a 30-minute thing. It took a couple of hours, but it's exactly what I need. And you know, I said last week, that building out the workflow, the automation for the podcast, that took 7 hours. Absolutely. These things don't take like 1 second, but this dashboard, I literally use it multiple times a day, every day. And I continue to tweak it, and I can tweak it as things come up that, you know, I realize like, hey, it would be better if this was like this, or it would be better if this did this. I know you have all experienced that with apps that you use. You can fix it now. That to me is a super cool part about building your own custom tech solution. You can continue to change the tech as you need, and as what you need changes. That's amazing to me. You can continuously change it, update it, upgrade it, switch this, take away that thing, add that thing, make this thing look like that, move this thing over here. One of the things I changed was just the size of it. I think one of the hallmark or one of the telltale signs that AI has made something is that the font is really fucking small. And I'm like, this is like so hard to see. And it's also like hard to click on, especially when I'm on the phone. So I was just like, I need to change the font on all of this. Make it so I can actually read it. I want this entire line to be hyperlinked, not just this one little arrow at the end. Just little things like that you're like, this would be easier for me. This is what I want. It will do it. As an aside, I didn't write this in my notes, but I do want to share it. When you're building these things out, you have to ask it to optimize it for mobile, because it doesn't do that. The default is to make it for your desktop. And then when you go to look at it on your phone, you're like, Jesus, this looks fucking terrible. So you also have to make sure that you optimize it for mobile. And that's been a cool journey as well. Like, as I was getting more into coding stuff and like learning how you do that. And it's simple, actually, to do that. I have to do that. I sometimes play around with that stuff on my website. But it is a separate thing that you will have to ask it to do. All right. But one of the things I wanted to highlight with this is like, yes, I'm so excited about it. I'm always like about expectation management and being real. And so like building this stuff takes time. And by time, I mean hours. Right? Before coding this, like I said, before recording this, I was troubleshooting the webhook thing. That's probably about 45 minutes. And figuring out why things weren't showing in the dashboard. And then I took another, half an hour to figure out the podcast automation workflow. And like, why isn't that working? These things take time. It's time to build. And then there is the troubleshooting component, which is why for any of you that are out there and reading stuff, and it's like SaaS is dead. SaaS is a service as a solution, software as a solution. No, these things aren't dead because people don't want to do this themselves. Right? They don't want to troubleshoot the shit themselves. They don't want to have to worry about maintaining it. But if you are willing to do that, sky's the limit. And there's a lot less to maintain because it's just you using it. It's just your desires, your wishes for this. Right? It's not like everyone that has is a bunch of people using it and it's broke for this person and this person wants it different. It's just you. All right. And again, that troubleshooting largely looks like taking screenshots of things or copying outputs and being like, hey, it just shot this out to me. It's not working. Help. And then having lots of patience, right? So again, friends, no pressure to go and build anything. I just want you to realize that it is possible. And I truly, truly, truly believe that these personal custom tech solutions are the, next big thing. And by next big thing, I mean that they're already here. People are already doing it. It's just that they're being, it's siloed to the early adopters. But this is definitely going to be a thing. It's going to continue to be a thing, especially because it's just going to become easier to build these things out, right? So building them, right? Like I said, it's only going to become easier. And I really do hope that you take advantage of that and you solve your own problems in a way that is an absolute perfect fit. And that's an exciting, like this is exactly the very thing that you need. You can do that. Whatever it is, talk to Claude. There's probably a way to do it. All right. Last things last, and then we'll wrap this up. How I used AI this week. Each episode, if you're new here, you don't know, I share a quick example of how I used AI that week. Clearly, this whole episode is how I used AI this week, building the custom dashboard. But something super cool that I did last week that I want to share is I had Claude build me a bomb-ass custom Google Sheet to give to the folks who attended the live event that I host with Lex for our Lexmind Mastermind. So I had to make it a fillable Google Sheet that I use as part of a drill for creating content. I wasn't going to have, I don't really like making sheets and worksheets. It's like, just, I don't like doing it. I don't like using them. I don't like making them, but I do understand the utility and I do understand that people really like them. And so as sitting there and Lex was actually presenting, I had to build it in that time. It took like 7 minutes to do it. So I was going to have Claude Cowork do this. Admittedly, I still don't really understand the utility of Claude Cowork. I understand Claude. I understand Claude Code. Claude Cowork to me is in this really weird middle fuzzy space, but I know that it is good at Excel and like being in PowerPoint. So I was like, okay, cool. It can make this Excel spreadsheet, but it can do Excel and it can also do Google Sheets. And so I went in there to have it do it, and it didn't work. It was just like, basically the equivalent of the wheel of death, just spinning. So I toggled over to Claude Chat. I know it sounds funny to say Claude Chat, but once you go to the desktop app, you'll see there's three toggles at the top: Chat, Cowork, and Code. And so I toggled over to the chat section, which is just regular Claude, and I was like, yo, what's up with Cowork? Is it broken? And it was like, yeah, it hasn't been working, which is like, I think it's just fucking lying and hallucinating. But either way, I told Claude what I wanted. And it was just like, hey, I want to make a Google Sheet that's fillable. I want them to be able to do this. And actually, I just uploaded my screenshot of two slides from the presentation. And I said, I want you to make a Google Sheet from the information on this. And it did it. It was literally that easy. And it stylized it it made the font small because it always does. But that's easy to change. It locked the cells, like incredible. I had to do anything. It was my brand colors. And all I had to do was share it. All I had to do was share it with the attendees. And again, I built it, quote unquote, in the time that, while Lex was coaching. I simply told it what I wanted. I uploaded the screenshots and it did it. There was a few changes that I did want after it made it. And I just typed the request in the chat. It updated it. And I had a fully functional Google Sheet And that's fucking awesome. So definitely give that a try if you need a Google Sheet built out, because it's as simple as just telling Claude what you want. All right. That, my friends, is all for today. Hopefully you found this episode helpful. If you did, consider sharing it with someone you know who is curious about the old AI. And don't forget, I have a companion newsletter, The Curious Companion, that drops every Thursday. That is basically the podcast episode in text format. So if you prefer to read or you just want a written record, join the newsletter fam. You can head to promptingcuriosity.com/newsletter or check out the link in the show notes. As always, endlessly, endlessly, one more time, endlessly appreciative for every single one of you. Until we chat again next Thursday, stay curious.